this new series that this is our second week of it, Life, Money, and Hope. And life has a way of coming at you. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know if it's maybe the lowest point in your life. Might be the highest point in your life. But God's got a way for all of it to make sure that you come out, or to make sure while you're up, you know what to do while you're up as well. I believe that you can be consistent in all of it. And one of the areas that we're greatly affected in is really in the realm of our finances and our money, and because it affects every single one of us. There's not one in this room that you're not affected by it, whether it is the lowest point or the highest point. You know, if you get to that place, maybe money's not something that you necessarily need any more of. And I would beg to differ with you. Once you learn what to do with money, you want as much as you can, as long as it doesn't have as much of you as it, you know, take over you. But maybe it is that lowest point where you're just trying to figure it out. And we had a great panel up here last week of some guys to do some practical application, answer some questions for us, two of our board members, Ricky Scarborough and Artie Tillett. And then we also had two of our pastoral leaders, staff leaders, and that's Frank and Linda Hester. And they took on the responsibility with Hannah with some great questions. Actually, Hannah came up with those questions. They were very powerful, and they're on our podcast. But we endeavored during this series not to let you just hear from me, because I don't want you to feel like I'm telling you something to do. I don't want you to walk out saying, well, that's just what he says. I wanted you to see life experience that's working in the life of people. And as we listened to them last week, you know how money affects all of us. Let me just say this, you know it affects you. Try not paying your power bill for a while and see how that works out for you. It's going to come back and bite you. And but God's way can get you to a place where you don't have to worry about whether you're going to be able to pay that power bill or not. Matter of fact, God's way, if we learn some special, you know, some truths about it, you know, the scriptures kind of combines these two words, ordinance or principle. They basically mean the same thing. Ordinance of God, how to, what to, how to think, how to act, and how to function how he does. Well, our term today would be not just ordinance, but we would say it's a principle, it's a law, it's something that I can follow after, how I think, how I act, and how I do something. And in the realm of money, God has a way that will always take you to a place further than you are at the moment. It's just the way it works. And as I listened to the guys last week, and the gals, talking about Miss Linda as well, you know, I had a whole different direction that I was going to go today. And to you, that doesn't mean a lot, but to me, that means a lot, because that shifts all of the studying a whole different direction. And I knew it was going to be a full, busy weekend for myself, but God really was just cool, man. When I say cool, he really began to just point some things out last Sunday that I feel like are important for you to know. And it really was in the realm of the word consistency. Because common thread from all four of these persons that were up here, as I begin to listen to them, from low points to high points, and even where they are now, wherever they fall on the scale of that, they're all in doing very successful in life. There was something that enabled them to overcome and to walk through life and to be where they are today. And it was in the realm of being consistent at this one thing. And I'm going to take the opportunity somewhere in today's message to tell you what that one thing is. You're not going to know what it is right now. I want to lead you up to it, because you're not going to have about 10 points a day, 3 or 4 points to walk out and have to remember. I might say this point, 3, point 4, but don't worry about that. There's just this one thing that I want you to walk out with. And if you'll do that one thing, I guarantee you that you have you see, the world has a way of creating systems for us that are good in their nature. They're good in their start. But they have a tendency to create a dependency on your part on it, to where it was a good thing to start with, but then there's such a dependency on it to now it becomes how you think, and it's a lifestyle. Services that are in the world today, services in our nation, really. And the services, I don't want to give you the name because you probably can figure it out. Even if you're on that service, God's way, because it is a service that has a good start to it, if there's a reason. But we want to get to this place where I'm not dependent on government. I'm not dependent on these services, because then they start to control you. They start to limit what you can do in life, and you can settle in that spot to where you actually, kind of get comfortable in that, and that's not good either. And God's way will always show you a way out, a way of escape, if something's starting to limit your life to where it's going to not allow you to get to other people. And when you look at the scriptures and you begin to find some things out, I kind of, you know, maybe you've heard me say these things before, but do you realize that, guys, in the scriptures, there's over 500 scriptures that make reference to prayer. There's less than 500 scriptures that make reference to you living by faith. Now, those things are very important. You got to live by faith if you're going to do anything in the kingdom of God. That just simply means you believe in Him, you're persuaded in Him, He's going to do what He said. All right? And you got to live by prayer, because prayer, my gosh, how else do you think you're supposed to talk to God? You got to talk to Him. But in the scriptures, there's over 2,000 scriptures that make reference to money, increase, and prosperity, and you prospering in your life. We got to ask the question, why? There is a spiritual fundamental principle that's directly connected to how we think and how we handle our money. And if we're not willing to ask that question why and begin to dig into it a little bit more, I can tell you what people's priorities are in those realms. It's very simple. I can tell you about their spiritual commitment when it comes to the subject of finances. All I got to do is go to you and find out how much time what you're spending your time on and what you're spending your time giving to. When I find out what your time is spent on and what you're giving to, I know what your priorities are. Now, that might be because it's just a lack of knowledge or lack of understanding of this one thing. And once you know the one thing, then all of those things are okay. And actually, it's pretty cool because God does want us to prosper. Don't ever think that God wants you to live a level of life that's just status quo, unless that's what you're content with. It's not about whether I'm high and mighty or I'm here or there. It's about what you are content with. But be careful getting so content to where you settle enough to where I got just enough, because that's not a good place to be either. You're going to want more than just enough, because if you stay with just enough, that's just enough for you, and that creates selfishness. That creates a limitation in your life, and that creates a place to where you become ineffective for the kingdom of God except just for you. And that's, man, that's kind of boring after a while. And guess what? I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about tithing and what you should give. I believe it's one of the areas that's priority number one. Absolutely. But if you'll come back with me next week, I've got a special guest. I'll talk to you about that here in a minute. But if you come back to me the fourth week of this series, if you only get one of these, you've got to go get the podcast, because you will not, you can take some things out of context and you will not get what we're saying. You'll walk out saying that we said the wrong thing. A good chance of that. You see, I'm convinced that you got good hearts. And people want to do the right thing when it comes to their money. You just might not be doing the right thing. And here's the term that I saw last week when I watched these guys. And that was consistent. You might not know what the right thing is, but are you doing the right thing consistent? Because that will be the difference maker. That will be the difference maker in you bringing increase in your life into a world where you move away from paycheck to paycheck, where you move into, this is where it's more powerful to me, where you move away from a world of living from miracle to miracle, always needing a bailout, always needing someone to take you out, always needing an upswing because, man, you keep going down. You keep going to this spot. I'm telling you, God's way in your life and in your money, if there's a hope that comes alongside that absolutely God will always come through on His part. He's never going to let you down. And if it's not working for you, it's not God that's not working for you. There might be a principle that we have to learn, an understanding of, am I doing the one thing? That has to be the first step of question. Because this is where it starts. I haven't even told you what the one thing is. But this one thing will be required consistently. Go with me to the scripture real quick. We'll start right here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've said this to you before. Money will always follow priorities. Money will always follow values. Money will always follow passion. But I haven't said what I just said to you a few minutes ago. Money will always follow consistency. I said this to you before too. Money isn't bad. We just sometimes do the wrong thing with it. But maybe we don't stay consistent with doing the right things. Yes, God does want you to prosper. Here's a scripture to prove that. Listen to it. Third John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. So it's not a question of whether He wants you to prosper, but it might be a question of whether my soul is prospering. You see, the soul prospering, coming to a place where you're willing to renew mind and transform your ways into how he thinks and how he acts, and then applying those principles and ordinances might be the thing that makes you prosper. And so if I think about that and I put that all into one little package of perspective, and I wrote this statement down, if this is okay with you, I said, there's no doubt that there are highs and lows in life, but right now might be the lowest point in your life. What do you do? What is the one thing that you can do? What is the one thing, if there was a miracle working thing that would change it just like that, what would it be? Proverbs 16, verse 3. Put God in charge of your work, then what you plan you need will take place. You see, if I'm going to put God in charge of my work, am I really putting him in charge of my work? Here's what happens. We pick and choose what we want to put him in charge of. Life, money, hope is the whole package. I want to put him in charge of my whole life. I want to put him in charge. Well, of course, listen, can I be transparent with you? This series is about money. So don't get offended that I'm saying the word money in the church, because it affects all of us. And if you're a gambling man, and some of you are, maybe that's where your money's going. But if you're a gambling man always will gamble with the odds. And these odds pretty much will trump any other odds there are when it will work for you. And so he says, look, put me in charge of your work. But then I got to understand something. What does that mean? How do I do that? Well, look at Proverbs 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now the word build, listen to what this means. Unless the Lord makes the house, unless the Lord sets up the house, unless the Lord, maybe this is where money is for you. Unless the Lord repairs the house, he says you'll be laboring in vain. So in other words, unless I'm willing to be honest with myself and say, what got me here? Is there something I'm doing that's keeping me here? Maybe I'm not doing anything wrong at all. Maybe it's a matter of going back to my hope. Maybe is the challenge within my hope. Am I really hoping and knowing and believing that my God will come through for me? And the only thing that will determine that for you, or make that, it's never necessarily easy, but one of the only things that will help you in this place and in this spot is going to be your consistency. If you're not in this for the long haul, you will always be challenged. And here will be the results of short-term investment. When it's short-term in what you do with God, and you just pop in and pop out, and it's when it's convenient for you, and hey, I'm having a bad day, so I need to go get to God, because you know the right thing to do, but maybe consistently it's not what you're doing, so you just pop in when you need him, and then when you got that feel-good emotion all back together, and then you walk out and you go away for 3 or 4 weeks to 2 months, and then you hit another emotional low, so what do? You come back to God. You are consistent about one thing. You know where to go. But knowing where to go and stopping there will not work until you consistently go beyond just the start and get to where you stay constant and consistent in what you're doing with God. And it's funny because people don't get this. They think this relationship with God is just, it's convenient. It's just when I want it, how I want it, and what I get from it. I don't think God beats us up in those realms. I think he wants you to have it when you want it. He says he never leaves you nor forsakes you. I think he wants you to have it when it is convenient. But do you really want him when you don't want him in your life at all? We got to come to this place. Am I consistent in my living? Am I consistent in my giving? Am I going to be consistent in my hoping? Because if I'm not, listen to what happens. According to this scripture, except the Lord builds your house and he's got that consistent walk in your life, unless he does it, it says the Lord, what happens is they labor in vain. And the word labor means, oh, this is a good word. It actually means you will become annoying and irritating to yourself. So if you're not allowing God to be this consistent factor in your life, it's just convenient when you want it, eventually you're going to be annoyed with yourself and irritated with yourself, and then you will blame God. The word vain, how about this definition, means it will be a waste of time and destructive. In other words, if I'm not willing to look into my life and be honest with myself and come to the place where, hey, look, is God consistent in my life, in the realm of money, in the realm of my life, in the realm of my hope? I got to be willing to ask myself that question. If you look at the definition of the word consistent, it means this: a pattern of sticking with one way or thinking or acting. It means this: showing steady conformity to character, to profession, to belief, or custom. Here's what I found out. Anytime there is success in anybody's life, consistency is always a factor. Anytime there's failure in somebody else's life, consistency was a factor. Either you stopped, or you started, or you were consistent maybe about the wrong thing. Now let me take this word consistency, and that's all I want you to walk away with. That the most important thing, the one thing with consistency, is going to be, I'll tell you in a minute. But here's what happens. We take a lifestyle of consistency and we kind of apply it and mold it to the way that we want it. And if I'm not willing to get to this place where I realize that, because this is where consistency gets thrown, your consistency will always be tested. In other words, your consistency of faith walk will always be tested, especially in the realm of finances. Matter of fact, I can tell you how it'll be tested every single day by the one thing. What are you going to do with the first paycheck, with the paycheck that you get every day? What's the first thing you do with it? Do you pay Visa? Do you pay power bill? You put clothes on the back of your kids? You got to pay for them. Don't quit paying for them. But are you doing the one thing that's most important? Are you doing the thing that's going to make sure that the windows of heaven will stay open for you and continue to make sure that your realm is taken care of? Are you doing that one thing? Go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The scripture says this: but seek, aim, and strive after first of all. Everybody say first. His kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then he says, all these things will be taken together and will be given you besides. If God's not first in your life, he's not first in your money, and he's not first in your hope, your limitations will overtake you and frustrate you and get you to the place where you're not depending on God ever. You see, it's interesting, if you go into the scriptures, when I began to look at this last week with the team, and we sat in our preparation for today's service, and we always want to make sure you got some kind of a good experience that you walk out with, not just a feel-good experience, but something that you can apply. And as we brought this term up, consistency, we honed in on one character in the scriptures, and it was Daniel. But I got to be honest with you, I studied Daniel all week. And the more I studied Daniel, it led me to other characters, other men in the scriptures. And I found out from Genesis to Revelation, the word, the bridge from Genesis to Revelation was the word consistency. If I look at Abraham, and then I look at Isaac, I look at Joseph, I look at David, I look at Elijah, I look at Daniel, I even look at Job. Job was consistent in something that ruined his life for about 9 months. But he was also consistent in this one thing that led him to a place of prosperity and redeemed everything back to him. Jesus was consistent. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were consistent to this one thing. You look at Paul, you look at Peter, they were consistent to the one thing. And the one thing was that they were willing to put God first, even in the midst of the greatest test and trial of their life, God's life. God the Father, God Himself was most important. Now, I look at Abraham, I did look at him just a little bit, and I go into Genesis chapter 17, and this is where God says, be a faithful servant to me, be someone that has a consistent life for me. And he says, all of these blessings and all of these things will make a covenant with you, and I'll make sure you have these things in your life. And then anyone else after you will have the same opportunity if they will live consistent, they serve me consistent, and they actually live a righteous life. Aren't you glad we don't live in the Old Testament anymore? Because there was a lot of do's and there was a lot of don'ts in the Old Testament, I am learning to live in the New Testament, in the covenant. Thank God that Paul was consistent enough to teach us, and Peter to teach us the life of grace and God's ability and God's power to enable us to live in the mercy of God. And when we make mistakes, but did you know that Abraham wasn't perfect either? As I studied all of these characters and as I kept looking at them, I found out the one thing that was very consistent with them, they weren't perfect. Matter of fact, Abraham slept with his wife's, I used to say secretary, but that wouldn't be good, with his wife's maid. Imagine that. And God says, you're going to be the father of many nations, and you're sleeping around. One thing that was so powerful about Abraham, when God came to him and said, you know what? I'm going to confirm that you're going to be the father of nations. I'm going to give you a son, and his name will be called Isaac. Three men showed up at his door, I believe a representative, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, coming to him, and they said, look, as of today, 1 year from now, your wife will be giving birth to a son. His name will be Isaac. This will be the seed of the generation of nations that you'll be a father of. Kings will come from your loins. Sarah, questioning God, is outside the corner of the tent. She starts to laugh. Don't try to pull something over God's eyes. Because they said, is that Sarah laughing behind the tent? Sometimes I think we don't think God sees our actions. He sees every action you take. He sees every word you say. He hears every word you say. And he's always trying to get to the heart of the matter with you. And you have to be honest with yourself, because this is the one thing that enabled all of these men to have a heart after God like David. Daniel, he prayed three times a day in the midst of trial with a lion's den and the fire, thrown in the fiery furnace. Elijah prayed and it stopped raining, and then it rained for another 3 years. There was something consistent. They honored God first. And if we're not willing to look at ourselves, have I got God first in every area of my life, even in the realm of my finances, or am I even hoping in God first when it's down and out? Am I hoping in other people more than I'm hoping in Him? You've got to be willing to ask yourself that question. Because Abraham was faced with that question in Genesis 21 and 22. You see him, the scripture says that God tested his faith. God tested him with the very thing that God gave him. You will be tested daily with the very thing that comes from God. It will be your prosperity. Where is your heart with it? And what happened, here is how God will test us on a daily basis. I'm not going to teach on tithing today. We will the final week, because I want you to get the heart behind it more than I want you to know the mechanics of it. But if you look at this subject of tithing, that's really based upon you putting God first, giving back to God what belongs to Him. And when Abraham was tested in his greatest test of life, there were three things that you hear him do throughout that whole test, starting at the bottom of the mountain. Even at the top of the mountain, he did the same thing. He held fast to his profession of faith, and he glorified God and put trust that God, before they went up the mountain, he said to the men that were waiting on him, he says, you know what? We will be coming back, me and my son. And he still got to walk up the mountain. You might have the biggest mountain staring at you right in the face. Are you consistent in your life of hope that you'll look at the bottom of that mountain and say, you know what? I'm going to get to the top of this mountain, and I'm going to come back down from this mountain, because my God is faithful to that promise. Are you going to have that consistency in your life? Until you're consistent, until you're in this thing for long haul, you will be frustrated, guys. And so we know Abraham came down. We know Isaac wasn't sacrificed. We know the end of that story, but you might not know the end of your story just yet. You're actually writing scripture for yourself right now. You're not rewriting the Bible, but you're writing Bible for your own life. It's your journey on this earth, and God's give you what you need on this earth. And one of the principles or ordinances for us to follow in the realm of, am I going to prosper financially? Am I going to put God first? Is that a test that I have every single day? What do you do with your money first? And if you don't have this settled and answered in your heart, the first thing is having to know that the scripture says the first fruits of all your increase belongs to him. Malachi begins to bring this home for us a little bit, because in Malachi he says, look, you have an opportunity to test me here. It's the only place in scripture that says you are able to test God. God believes this in so much and believes in you so much that you'll do the right thing with your money if you put him first, that he says, you test me. And I'll open up the windows of heaven. And the scripture, when you look at it and you study it, here's what happens. When I'm not willing to put God first, what happens is I'm actually submitting myself up underneath, out from underneath of the protection of God in the realm of my finances. You actually are placing yourself up under the world system of curse. Now, God's not going to curse you. He's redeemed you. God's not putting bad things on you. God's put you above the enemy and above these things and these circumstances. God's give you the name of Jesus to overcome all principality and power and might that could ever come to your life and to try to take you down and to take you under. So I've got to be willing to ask myself this question. Remember, consistency being the bridge. Am I consistent in this realm of money in my life? God's way, because it's the only way that will work. It is the only way that's actually unlimited in your life. The only limitation that will be there will be the limitations that you put on him. And the moment we choose to... don't take me wrong, okay? This principle is the most valuable principle in the scripture. God wants to be first in your life. He wants to be so first in your life that he made sure that you knew before you were born, I knew you. Before you were born, he says, I began to write a book with every day of your life in it. Before you came into existence, he made the statement through Jeremiah that he has plans for you. I have hopes, expectations for you, to prosper you, to bring wellness into your life, to establish you far above a place of lack, a place of barely getting along. And we're putting on God that he's the reason I'm barely getting along. Because we're believing our old wives' tales. We're believing religion. We're believing things that are not true anymore. We're making it about a car. We're making it about a house. We're making it about things. And it's never about any of those things. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be comfortable. But he doesn't want you to be so content that you stop. That's the danger of not putting God first. You will become content and you'll stop. You'll stop moving forward, and you can never stop moving forward in God, because the scripture says he will take you from glory to glory, from this plateau to this plateau, from this one to the next. There's always another step in God, and we've made it difficult. And it starts with a choice of submitting my life to the place where, am I going to allow him to be so consistently first? It's going to be totally opposite of the world. It's going to be totally opposite of what... There are times, I said that your faith will be so tested. Your faith will be tested in the realm of not even just finances, but am I going to glorify God in such a way that... even in the midst of the greatest test of the world that could ever come against my life, will God still be first? Go back to Abraham. We bring Abraham back into the new covenant, and it's recorded that the one thing that made Abraham very distinct, and I believe we have the same opportunity, I hate to say distinct, but it's true. It says that Abraham, in the midst of all the things that were coming against him in his life, he still gave glory. Romans chapter 4, go read it for yourself. He still gave glory to God. The word glory means weight. Consistently, every prophet, consistently, every character that shows prosperity, that shows success, the thing that made them successful was their consistency in the one thing, that God was number one. Even when they made their mistake, they were willing to humble themselves underneath of God and say, I missed it. I made a bad mistake here. But God, I know you're the only one that can redeem me from my mistake. And see, the enemy wants to get us trapped to a place to where we're not willing, that all of life is more all-consuming, and that's priority, and I got to do this, and I got to get the kids here, and I got to make sure they have this, and I got to have this, and I got to have this, and this. Eventually, that starts to become overwhelming. You do it God's way, you won't have something that has holes in it. That seems like, as Haggai said, the money's constantly going through. You do it God's way, you won't see the frustration. Actually, the scripture says, when I do it God's way, he adds no sorrow with it. So that tells me something. If I'm in sorrow, maybe God's not in the place he needs to be. If I wake up and I'm frustrated and the first thing I think about, how am I going to do it? Your first step of question answer has to be, I'm going to put God first in it. I'm going to say, God, what should I do first today? I'm going to say, God, What's the wisdom you have for me today? I'm going to say, God, where's my grace for today? I'm going to say, God, how much do I... Do you know... Am I out of time? Oh, no, it's only 12:10. One of the areas that you'll be tested the most when it comes to the realm of God will be the area of rest. Your world will take away from your rest if you let it. Now, we can take this to a whole other extreme and become lazy and become worthless. And a lot of people do that. But is God first in your life enough that he has... Let me ask it on the flip side. Does God have time in your life? Does he have time in your day? And I'm talking about 10 minutes. If you live on 10 minutes a day with God... You're not even close. There's a lot more hourage. There's 23 and 50 minutes left. Am I right? No. 10 minutes a day, 23, 50 minutes. I know I'm right. And God only has 10 minutes of your 23, 50? And you're wondering why things aren't working out? You wondering why you're in the mess you're in? You're wondering why you're frustrated? You wondering why? I can tell you. I can come to you and I can find out what's going on in your life by what you invest your time in and what you invest your money in. And God wants the first of your time before he wants the first of your money. That's it. If you're giving the first of the time, you'll never struggle with giving the first of your money. If you give him the first of your time, you'll never struggle with giving him the first of your money. But if you're not doing that consistent, you'll be like James says. You'll be a man that wavereth. He's tossed to and fro like a ship on the sea, unstable in all of his ways. It's not what God wants for you. He wants you to bridge your life from the yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow with consistency his way. You do that in your life. You do that in your money. Hope won't be an issue because your confidence will be in God. Stand up with me this morning. Hallelujah. I found when you start talking about a subject like this, it gets really quiet. Because it confirms why. What confirms it is the fact it does. It affects every single one of us. A lot of different grounds in here. A lot of different places in here where people are. A lot of starts. A lot of consistency. A lot of in the middle. The one thing to be consistent no matter where you are, even at a start, and that is, can I challenge you? Put God first. It's the only way you can start doing it His way, is putting Him first. I'm going to invite you out next week. Next week's going to be really cool because we've invited a good friend of mine to come and minister to you. I told you, I don't want to be the only one talking to you about this. That's why we had our board, Rick and Art, and these two here. Because there's something in their life that shows fruit of the consistency. And the gentleman I've asked to come next week was actually one of the first, he was with my pastor, the first board member on the church, for our church. His name's Steve Miller. He's a cousin of ours as well. But Steve Miller has probably been, matter of fact, I just talked to him the other day, and we were talking about this subject, not even knowing we were going to be teaching along this line. And I was laughing at him because it was about 6:45 when I was talking to him, because I know if I call him between 5:30 and 6:45, I can get him because I know where he is. Anything after that, he's on the road. You ain't going to get him. He's not going to answer your text. He's not even going to probably call you back. But I know I can interrupt his God time. Probably shouldn't do that, huh? We must be real close. But since he was a teenager, he's 52, I think. No, he's 51. He'll be 52. I'll be 51 in a month. Married 25 years next week. Come on, come on, come on. This is one area in our personal life that we've tried to really work hard on. Never had a bad day in our marriage. We've had bad moments, but not a full bad day. I'm just determined. We're determined. We're not ever going to allow it. And I want to have a bad day sometimes. She's difficult sometimes. I'm a lot more difficult than her, trust me. We've learned to make it work by putting God first. We always come back to that principle. What does God say to do here? And usually it's repent, ask forgiveness, and come bawling and squalling, and you know everything's good from there. But Steve, that's the area that his life, he'll be here next week, and he started it at 15, I think he was. He had his first business. He bought 25 hogs. He went into farming business with hogs. And he started tithing because he was raised in that. Now, Rick, that was up here last week, wasn't raised in with a tithing experience of tithing being first priority in his life. I got time, babe. And if you remember what he said, the one thing that he said was simply this, that he says, I wasn't raised in that, but he says, I learned that I'm living a lot better on the 90% than I am the 100%. And he says, I'm not actually living off of $5 an hour anymore. I don't know if you heard that, but he's living better. Steve started at 15, living a tithing lifestyle, giving God first, and he's still doing the same. 1,600 employees now, $200 million company, much more than it ever was before, but he's still doing the same thing. Matter of fact, I asked him the same question the other day. I said, he told me, he says, I've always told you if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. That's what he told me. And I said, and you also told me that you're always one decision away from losing it all, too. And he says, yeah, I probably am. He says, but my God will never let me down. It comes out of him because he's consistent. You'll like him because he's extremely funny. He's extremely transparent. And I want you to hear from him. I want you to hear some things about godly lifestyle and what's enabled him to be successful. It'll be good for you to hear it. And you'll laugh and have a great time. And I'm going to come back to you the week after that. And I'm going to show you the how-to, but the main thing of the heart of the tithing and the offering and the principle of it. What does God really say about it? Am I really putting Him first in that area? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.